Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be back with you all. I think last week I was a little under the weather, and you always take for granted being healthy until you're sick, and then you're like, oh my goodness. But it's good to be back with you all. Just a couple of nuts and bolts before I begin my homily. You'll notice we've been leaving the kneeler out in front of the altar the past 2 weeks or so. That's because, as you can observe, we have a lot of our young people like to receive kneeling, so it's just an aid there for them. You can receive Holy Communion however way you feel most comfortable, of course, though. Then secondly, I know all the women here are thinking, today is Valentine's Day, right? Well, I just have to say, you know, if there's any old tradition in our society, it's probably because it comes from the Catholic faith, right? Because, of course, the Catholic Church is the oldest, longest-running institution to this day. Right, having been 2,000 years. And so Saint Valentine, as we know, right, was a Catholic priest in the 200s during the time when Catholicism was illegal, right, to be practiced. And the emperor at the time had a rule that if you served in the military, and if you were a man, you had to serve in the military, but when you served in the military, you were not allowed to be married. Okay, because the emperor said you'd be able to give more of your time and fullness of yourself if you weren't married. Well, remember, marriage is a sacrament. And every person has a right to be married, right, as long as they don't have any impediments. And so the church opposed this law, saying, no, this person, they can get married if they so desire. And so St. Valentine would secretly witness marriages for soldiers. Until, of course, he got caught, and he ended up being clubbed and beheaded, okay? So he's now attached to love. So as you are celebrating a beautiful Valentine's Day dinner, you can think of St. Valentine beheaded for you, right? Just thought you should know that. All right, so when I was a freshman here at WVU, as I've mentioned before, I sadly stopped going to Mass for a few months. Now, even during that time when I wasn't going to Mass, I still hadn't given up on faith. I mean, I knew atheism did not make sense rationally. In fact, at nighttime, I'd still do my prayers before bed, as I'd done since a child, and I'd actually pray, I remember this, I'd pray, Lord, make me holy, but not yet. You see, I was stuck in my sin. Thankfully, however, the Lord is the hound of heaven. And finally, my restlessness was too much for me. Right? I didn't want to live the party lifestyle at WVU anymore, because in reality, it was so unsatisfying. I wanted something more. Yet, once I decided to go back to church, I knew what I needed to do. I knew I needed to tackle the next big hurdle. I knew I needed to go to the sacrament of confession. After all, that's what you do when you've not been a practicing Catholic for some time. Yet, as many of us, I'm sure, can relate here, the first time you go to confession in a long time can be nerve-wracking, right? After all, who wants to talk about their sins with a priest? Yet, in my heart, I knew I needed to. I knew if I went to confession, I'd be better. I knew I just needed to be courageous and go. So, one afternoon during the week, around 4 o'clock, when confessions were held back then, I showed up here at St. John's. Now, for an 18-year-old, the church was probably the last place someone would choose to be. Yet, the moment I went to confession, I knew I was free. I felt a great burden lift off of my shoulders. I knew I was finally back home in the church where I belonged. And for the first time since I had arrived at WVU, I finally felt peace. Now, in the first reading this morning, we're provided with a background for understanding leprosy as it was experienced by the Jewish and other ancient peoples. Remember, leprosy was one of the most feared and most frequently encountered diseases in ancient times. The bacterial skin infection started small, almost imperceptibly, but it soon spread, and it rotted the victim's extremities, their fingers, their nose, their lips, and it gave off a disgusting smell. As explained in today's first reading, lepers were consequently excluded from society and left to die a slow, painful, and humiliating death. They were prohibited by law from coming within 100 yards of healthy people. That's why they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." To come into contact with a leper was to make oneself unclean, since their disease, so it was believed, was a sign of God's punishment. For the infected person, moreover, this experience of isolation was one of pure misery. A threat to those around them, they were cut off from normal social contact, even with family. Moreover, they could not worship with the community, and therefore, you know, they probably felt cut off from God himself. Ultimately, the disease of leprosy disrupted the person from communion with God and man. Now, in the gospel today, a leper courageously approaches Christ, begging to be healed. The Lord, who is the doctor of souls, is overcome with compassion and, of course, could not deny this man's request. This leper today showed great courage and faith by approaching our Lord to be healed. He had no doubt in his mind that Christ could cure him. Otherwise, I mean, he would not have risked coming so close to him and the others. You see, he was so willing to break the cultural standards of his day in order to simply have a conversation with Christ. Nothing else mattered to him. Further, if you notice, our Lord did not cringe or back away as anyone else would have done at the sight and smell of a leper. Instead, what did he do? He touched him. For Christ didn't see him as every other person saw him, a diseased man. Instead, he saw him for who he truly was, as a creation of the Most High God. And Christ desired to take away this man's suffering. All the man had to do was approach him with humility. And as I said before, most lepers would not have dared to approach a crowd. Yet by approaching our Lord, by breaking the cultural standards, this man's faith overshadowed his sickness. Now, theologians and spiritual writers down through the ages have always seen the Old Testament concept of leprosy as a symbol for sin. After all, sin is a kind of spiritual leprosy, right? I mean, it disfigures our souls and spreads into every corner of our lives. It destroys us and destroys our ability to relate to other people. I mean, just think, for example, of sins such as lying or pornography and what they do to us and to those we love. You see, sin cuts us off from our purpose in our life and our role in human society and human history. Just as leprosy starts small but then spreads and grows, so one sin, one betrayal of our conscience, or one compromise with church teaching can easily become a spark that starts a spiritual forest fire. That is why sin is the true impurity of heart that can distance us from God. It is not, in fact, the physical disease of leprosy that separates us from God, as the ancient norm supposed, but sin, both spiritual and moral evil. Now, physical leprosy, praise God, no longer carries the same concern as it once did in the majority of the world today. Yet, spiritual leprosy still does. We sin every day, and through our sins, without even realizing it, we hurt our relationship with God and others. Yet, there is a difference in our sins. Venial or lesser sins hurt our relationship with God, but mortal sin exiles us spiritually from our Lord, like leprosy once did physically within the community. Mortal sin ruptures our relationship with Christ and causes spiritual death in our soul. And if we die with unrepentant mortal sin on our hearts, we freely choose to not enter into heaven with God one day. But much like the lepers of Christ's day, we are too afraid to approach our Lord to be healed. For we're complacent in our sin, or we're just unrepentant. You see, many people don't see the need to approach our Lord for healing because they don't even recognize their own sins. We see ourselves as having faults, sure, but we don't see ourselves as true sinners. Now, Pope St. John Paul II, during his pontificate, talked frequently about this loss of a sense of sin in our modern society. And Pope Francis has also spoken about this phenomenon. It's this concept that we merely see certain erroneous choices as wrong actions and not ones that actually affect our relationship with our Lord. Further, other actions that we commit that are wrong are not even on our purview. Or we recognize that we're sinners, but we don't do anything about it. Yet sin deprives us of the true happiness for which we were created. If we don't strive to recognize that we're sinners and then recognize our specific sins in our life that we like to commit, how can we even become the saints that our Lord desires us to be? You see, we can't find that happiness that our hearts are ultimately longing for while we seriously sin, because the grave actions, even if we don't recognize them, can hold us back from that fulfillment that we desire. They hurt us and our neighbor. Consequently, like the leper in the gospel today, we have to be courageous. We have to be willing to approach Christ to be healed, even if this means initially to be healed of our blindness to our sin. We have to be willing to change. For only by recognizing and acknowledging that we do sin will we recognize that there's actually more to life than what meets the eye. More to life than simply our looks, our weight, our careers, our bucket lists. For we'll recognize that we're meant to be with God in heaven, where there is no more suffering or sadness or pain or disease. And we'll recognize that sin draws us away from that goal and prevents authentic happiness in this life. And then we will come to finally despise sin and want nothing to do with it. Further, just as our Lord didn't cringe at the sight and smell of the leper, neither are our faults and failures too big for our Lord. Right? He sees beyond them and wants us to come to him in our brokenness. I don't know if I told some of the masses a story one time, but one time I was in Walmart, and usually, you know, oftentimes whenever I'm in Walmart, for whatever reason, the priestly collar attracts conversation, whether or not I have time or not. And one time, it was in the past year, this man comes up to me, and I'm going to be very vague, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. The man comes up to me and begins to tell me that years ago he had committed an egregious sin. And it was 30 years ago or so, maybe. But he thought about it every day. This is right in the produce section of Walmart. And he told me, though, that he did not believe God could ever forgive him. Every day he thought about this. And here our Lord is coming into the midst and touching a diseased leper. And then, with our own self, when we come to our Lord with our spiritual leprosy, and then having been touched by our Lord, he doesn't seem to be too afraid of us, does he? Once having been touched by our Lord, we're able to view others as he does and not be repulsed by the lepers of our own day. This man had to encounter our Lord to recognize our Lord loved him and was able to forgive his sin. Okay, so now as we're aware, this Wednesday begins the sacred season of Lent. And Lent, as everyone is overjoyed to know, is a time for repentance. And what better time than Lent is there to be courageous and approach our Lord asking to be healed of his spiritual leprosy? And the way we do this, of course, is through the sacrament of Christ's mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession. For even if we've not been to the sacrament in a long time, the priest can help us recognize the sins that we've forgotten or that we've not realized were a part of our life. Now, people are so afraid of talking to a priest about their sins that they forget that they encounter our Lord in the sacrament. They forget that they leave the confessional relieved and free of the spiritual burden of sin. Further, they begin to recognize a happiness and freedom that they never knew they could have. As Christ told St. Faustina once, his apparitions to her, quote, "When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy." For as we know all too well, so much goes on in our lives. Hurt from relationships, disappointments in ourselves, betrayal by those we love, etc. Yet, the sacrament of confession is the way that we can kneel down at the feet of our Lord, as that leper once did, and admit that we need his help. It's in the sacrament of confession that our Lord touches us and lifts us back onto our feet. When I was a freshman in college, I needed to be courageous and come to the sacrament after having been away from it for a long time. This Lent, we have an opportunity to be courageous as well and approach the Lord for his mercy. Even if we don't know where to begin the spiritual journey of our lives over again, refreshed and renewed. What is holding us back from being freed of our own spiritual leprosy and receiving our Lord's touch and healing in the sacrament of confession this Lent?